We're going to be looking on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. We started this last week. And the basic question is Man Habdika. So you count down, I would say approximately 12 lines maybe down from the top. And the first one is the Hashto. It's right after the two dots. On Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. Are you comfortable there? Should I move this closer up? Hashta the kaimalon the kuyama or urtahu. We've now established that Hadikas Chometz is balayla. Michti. Bein Rabbi Yehudu, Bein Rabbi Meir. There's machlokas later on in Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. Whether the Chachamim pushed us back 2 hours or only 1 hour. How much of a mistake are we afraid of? So on Erev Pesach, let's say at Chatzos Hayom, the Torah says we have to be chometz free, tashbisu, achilif. And now the question is, should we add an hour and go back, let's say, from 12 noon back to 11 or back to 10 o'clock and add 2 hours? But chometz ain't also l'mishesh also l'mal. As far as the Torah is concerned, there's no Iser chometz until the end of the 6th hour. So therefore, nivdok b'shis, why don't we do the bedika at the beginning of the 6th hour? In other words, let's start our bedika an hour before the Iser chometz, and let's assume that we can finish our bedika within that hour. So by the time we get to 12 noon, we're completely chometz free. V'chitem, and if you'll say, Zriza Makdim L'mitzvahs, the reason why we want to start the bedika as early as possible is because of Zrizus, Nivdok Mitzafra, let's check the house on the morning of the 14th. In other words, Zrizus doesn't require us to go back to yesterday, to the nighttime before. It only goes as far, as early as the daybreak, as daybreak. So in other words, just like Avram went out to the Akedah early in the morning, so to the best time, ideally for Mila, is going to be the early the daybreak when we start the day, and that's it. But we see clearly that there's no Zrizim Makdim L'Mitzvah that takes us back to the night before. Now Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak adds two motivating factors.
Shouldn't it be the night before?
I meant to say the night before. What did I say?
The morning.
No, I'm saying as far as Bezriza Makdim L'Mitzvah, it could only go back to the morning.
The mitzvah starts in the morning.
Correct. So earliest in the morning, let's say, for example, instead of waiting till the 10th hour in the morning, you should do it already at Hanetzach Hamor.
But is not eating the chametz also indexed on the light rather than the legal day?
In other words, the mitzvah is during the day of the 14th, correct? And the earliest, so we should start at noon, let's say, or an hour before noon.
No,
so
no, if
we go back to the beginning of the day,
I may be missing something. By Mila, the mitzvah only starts at daybreak. So Zrizim would mean start as early as possible, which is daybreak.
Right.
Here we're talking about you're not allowed to eat chametz because you're making some kind of a gezeira. So shouldn't that be the legal day, which is Erev Yom Tov, which is the night before?
Torah says destroy your chametz midday. So let's go back to the beginning.
So midday means also like daylight, so to speak.
Right, midday. Chatzos Hayom. Because Achilek means take the 12 hours of daylight and divide it to 6 and 6.
So where is your earliest point? The reason
would be daybreak. Not before daybreak.
Because midday is...
Because when we take the day and we say you can fulfill a mitzvah any time during that 12-hour period of daylight,
we're getting this reason tells us midday is not daylight.
Midday is from daybreak until Shkia is a 12-hour period. And Zrizim tells me that since you can do it any time during the day,
I'm obsessing about something. In Mila itself, the whole day is kosher for Mila.
Right.
So we say if you're a Zariz, do it at the earliest possible time. Right. Here we have a day Chatzos is the time.
Right.
We want to do something with it. So you can go as far back as a month, a year, right? There's no...
So what we're saying is that Zrizin requires some sort of relationship to the time of the mitzvah. It can't be a month before.
So how about the night? That's what I'm saying, the legal night.
So that we're saying is that within the time period of the Zvana mitzvah, which now is daytime...
It's daytime, not Chatzos.
Right. Well, Chatzos is the latest time during the day. That's the cutoff point, because after that you violate, let's say, Tashbisu, or maybe
even
Balyo.
But you're assuming daybreak is the unit. The light of the day is the unit here.
Correct. Because I'm taking the 12 hours of day.
I believe you, I just don't follow.
I'm taking the 12 hours of day, and I'm saying that Zrizim doesn't require me to go back to the night before those 12 hours, but rather to the earliest possible time that you can fulfill the mitzvah. But now Rav Nachman introduces two, shall we say, pressing factors into the equation. Number one, we want the bedikah to take place when people are available for the bedikah. And when are they available for the bedikah? That's at night when they come home from a hard day's work. Or, alternatively, is another pressing reason why we want the bedikah at night, and that is because of Or Haner Yofa LeBedikah. Now, Bli Neder, as we go on, we're going to try to think as to whether or not Rav Nachman is going back to Zrizim Makdim LeMitzvahs, and he's just telling you why is it that Zrizim Makdim LeMitzvahs in this case can take us all the way back to the night, or alternatively, he's talking about a new takana unto itself, a new independent reasoning, that although you're right, as far as Zrizim Makdim LeMitzvahs is concerned, the earliest time would be daybreak. But because of other factors, the Chazal established a night of Bedikah as an entity unto itself. It's a new takana, a new enactment. Okay, we'll get to that later on in Mirza Shem. Amar Abaye, Hilkoch. Once the Chachamim were koveh Bedikah at night, Hai Tzurma Mirabbanon, we're talking about a Talmud Chacham, Lo liftach be'ilnei, he should not begin starting his learning, meaning kovei himself for limud. Bi'urta detleisar, dinahagi arba. So from the night of the 14th, as far as the daybreak of, I'm sorry, urta detleisar, in other words, from the night that passes the 13th, the night following the 13th, dinahige arbasar, from the time of the 14th. Though it's during that period of time between the 13th and the 14th, it's the evening after the 13th and the night going into the 14th. Somewhere in that transitional period, he should avoid starting some sort of a limud. Dilma, because we're afraid, mishkach leishmaitita, he might get so involved in his study. V'asi le'imnu'e mi mitzvah. And he might not fulfill the mitzvah. Now, what are we saying over here? Are we saying that he's not going to fulfill the mitzvah at all? Are we saying also that this halacha of Abaye only applies to a Tzurmi Rabbanon? What if I'm not a Tzurmi Rabbanon?
What if you're doing an art project?
What if you're doing an art project? And furthermore, why does he mention the concept of Erev Yom Yud Gimel, meaning the evening going beyond Yud Gimel? Ibe Lechora, he should have said that we're worried about Yud Dalet. But I guess he's saying that even before Yud Dalet, once you get involved in learning, it might extend, and he might get so involved in it that even the 14th, when it's nightfall, he will not fulfill his mitzvah bedikah. So I just wanted to take a moment to read to you the Rambam, how he formulates this halacha. First of all, the Rambam dedicates Perek Beis of Hilchos Chametz Umatzah to the laws of Tashbisu and of Bedikas Chametz. He starts by telling us, Mitzvos Aseh Min HaTorah, Lahashbis HaChametz, to get rid of the Chametz, Kodim Zman Isra Achilasa, before the time that it becomes Asur Achila. Shenemar, Bayom HaRishon Tashbisu Si'or Mibateichem, Umfi HaShmuel Lomdu, SheRishon Zeh Hu Yom Arba'asar. The Rambam already tells us, based on Mipi HaShmuel, that don't be fooled. Don't take the Torah literally, that Bayom HaRishon means the first day of Yontif, but rather it means Arbasar means the 14th, and the Gemara is going to spend a lot of time on that, on Daf Hey Amud Aleph, to try to figure out how do we know, from whence do we derive that Yom HaRishon doesn't refer to the first day of Yontif, but rather to Erev Yontif. Okay, fine. I'm just going to leave out the next piece of this halach, because that's the Sugya Daf Hey, which we didn't get to. Now we're up to Sif Beis, Simon Halacha Beis. Umahi Hashbasa Zu Ha'amura V'Torah. What does the Torah require as Hashbasa? And the Rambam says the following. Ishi Yavatel HaChomeis B'Libo V'Yachshavo Soki Ofar V'Yosin B'Libo She'ein B'Rishuso Chomeis Kla. So this is what we call bittul bolev. Because if you notice, all the elements in the equation here in defining bittul, they all refer to his feelings, you know, his inner heart. The Rambam calls shivatel ha-chomeis belibo. Again, there are many different elements here in bittul, and B'li Nedr will get back to that. I just want to focus a little more on bedika. And he writes, umidivrei sofrim. Now, according to the Rambam, Bidika is the Rabbanon. On a Doraisa level, I fulfill Tashpisu with what? It's Bittul. That's clear. Umidire Sofrim, Lechapes Achra Chomets, Bemachbos, Ubechorim, Velivdok, Ulahotz, Ulotzio Michol Gvulo, Vechain Bidire Sofrim, Shebodkim, Umashbisin Hachomets Balaila Mitchilas Leil Arbasar Lior Haner. Now it sounds like the Rambam is formulating two different takanos midivrei sofer, because he opens up with midivrei sofer and then he has another vechein midivrei sofer. So the first midivrei sofer is that we're not going to rely on bittul, which the Torah relied upon, but rather we're going to require bedika. The second enactment, which is also a divrei sofrim, is that we have to check for chometz mitchilas leil arbasar. In other words, that the zman of bedika, which I guess could have been on the 14th itself by day, and the Gemara says even as far as reason is concerned, you don't have to go back to the night. The Rambam seems to learn that this is a separate takana, that they established that the Tchilas Leil Yudalit is already the time for Bedika. And why did they establish that? Mipnesha Laila Balaila Kola Am Mitsuyim Bibatehen V'ar Aner Yofel Bedika. So before we get to the Sugya Abaye, the way the Rambam formulates, let's just talk about this. When Rav Nachman in our Gemara says that the reason why we check for the Chometz at night is because A, Bishash b'nei Adam Mitzuyim Batem, and B, Ar Aner Yofel Abdika, we were wondering, is Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak extending the halacha, stretching the halacha of Zrizim Aktim LeMitzvahs to include the night? Or is he coming up with a new takana, that Enochinami, as far as the Do'orais is concerned, the original takana, or call it Rabbanon, we could have done that on the day of the 14th, but there were two pressing reasons because of which the Chacham enacted a Chiyu Bedika at night. And the impression you get from the Rambam is that we're not going back to the original Takana and saying, well, let's do it as early as possible, Zrizus, but rather, V'chein midivrei sofrim, Shebot kimu mashbisin achomitz balayla v'tchilas leil arbos. That seems to be a separate Takana. Let me read to you, I found here in the Harei Kedem a quote from Rav Soloveitchik, and he writes the following. He says, Nisbayer mea Rambam, he claims that this is the conclusion he gets from the Rambam, the HaRambam sover together atakona shel bedikas chomes mea laila, who shechachomim hikdimu esman mitzvahs bedika ves mitzvahs tashbisu litchilas leil yudalit. So first of all, there's a big chiddush here, if I read this correctly, that it's not coincidental that the Rambam opens up Perek Beis by telling you mitzvah semen ator lahashpis chametz, etc. And then immediately afterwards in Halacha Gimel midivrei sofrim lechapes achra chametz. The way Rav Soloveitchik understood this midivrei sofrim is that the Rambam is working within the framework of Tashbisu, and I think this is going to be important later on. He doesn't tell you why it's important, but I think later on we're gonna spell out this whole chiddush that the Rabbanan instituted bedika as a method of fulfilling tashbisu, so that although the Rambam establishes bedika as midivrei sofrim, but it's not some sort of independent new takana. You know, you can talk about Kriyas HaMegillah as midivrei sofrim. You can talk about Chanukah as midivrei sofrim. Here, the midivrei sofrim has to fit into a framework. And he says that Geder HaTakana Shel Bedikas HaLaila Hu SheChacham Hikdimu Esman Mitzvahs Tashbisu L'Tchilas Leil Yudalit. So as far as the Torah is concerned, you can postpone Tashbisu until midday on the 14th. The Rabbanan want you to start, or shall we say, fulfill this, or begin to fulfill this mitzvah Tashbisu already at the beginning of the 14th, meaning the night of the 14th.
And indeed,
Valkane, let me just read one more line. Mitchilas halayla chalalav chiyuv lasok bebir hachamet ubekiyuv mitzvah Tashbisu. In other words, the Chachamim established, which again the Torah would have been happy if you do this midday on the 14th, that mitchilas halayla, from already the beginning of the night, he's obligated, and listen to the choice of like lasog the bir hachametz. He's already involved in bir. The Torah says he can be involved in the chametz midday on the 14th. The Rabbanan wanted to start the process of involvement in bir chametz and fulfilling ultimately Tashbisu on the night of the 14th.
Yes. And that's why the bracha says that.
Asher kitshonim et sos tzivono al bir chametz.
Right. Not al bedikat chametz.
Correct. Excellent.
So you were starting right there.
Now, I want to, before we get to Abaye, I want to just point out that he has a Meiri here. Now, honestly, I was in the shir for 5 years. I don't remember the Rav quoting the Meiri, but I'm just telling you what it says here in the Hari Kedem. He says that the Meiri writes that mitzvahs mila bishmini v'chol ayom kosher l'mila el shezrizim akdim l'mitzvahs k'mo shenemar v'yakedem v'yashkem avram v'boker. This is the Lashon HaMeiri. V'af bedikas chametz. So Rav Soloveitchik is going to make a big deal about the af bedikas chametz, because what does that sound like? The af bedikas chametz. Right, we'll start again. Mitzvahs mila b'shmini v'chol ayom kosher bo el shizrizim akdim l'mitzvahs k'mo shenemar ba'akeda v'yashkem avram b'boker v'af bedikas chametz. What does that sound like?
Shizrizim
akdim. He is applying shizrizim akdim l'mitzvahs. Af she'en yisur el mishay sholsel amala makdimim. Again, the word makdimim a second time. Libdikaso b'leil arbasar. Now again, it sounds like the Meiri is operating within the framework of Zrizim Akdim L'mitzvahs. Now the Meiri goes on and says, V'shem Tomer Nivtok Barboso Shachris V'day Lonu B'Akdim Azu. Again, he's still L'shitasa, we're dealing with Akdima, with Kadima meaning Zrizim Akdimim. So why not start in daybreak? That's what we did in Mila. And he answers, D'ein B'nei Oda Mitzuyim B'Tehem. People are not around in the morning. And v'nimtzu misrashlim, they won't take care of their obligation. And he says, v'af bi odom batel, and if you'll tell me, what about a person who has no other jobs? He's not going to be, he's at home the whole day, so he's not going to be distracted by any occupation. Mikomakom araner yofel abedika. So I'll just read to you what it says here in the Hari Kedem. He says, mashma me'am me'iri, the Gemara never changed its mind and completely let go of its original position. Even according to the Svara of the Taratzon, the Gemara still maintains that the reason why we do Bedika so early is because it's Zrizim Akdim. Ella, The Bira Gemara, the Afagav, the Bishar Mitzvah, Sagi Makdom Mitzafra, Mizmana Mitzvah, start from the break, the daybreak before the Mitzvah. But Kan, Kevin Sheyesh Hashoshos, this Rashlus, Mikima Mitzvah, Vigam Mishum, the Yoraner Yofalub Dika, is Savru, his Dareis Ulahaktim Mibarev. But it all comes back to what? To Zrizim Akdim and Mitzvahs. But then he says, however, Miloshen Rambam, the Perek Beis Halacha Gimel, what we just read, V'chein Midivrei Sofrim Shebodkim Mashbisim HaChomitz B'Laila Mitchilas Leil Arbosar Mashma Dezeu Takonim Mechudeshes Midivrei Sofrim, and the reason for that is So I'm just submitting to you what I saw here, that he wants to suggest the machlok between the Meiri and the Rambam. How do we learn Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak's maskana? Has the Gemara completely dropped the ball on Zrizim Akdim L'Mitzvahs, and now the Gemara is establishing that Laila is the Zman Bika as a result of a special takana? That's how he explains the Rambam, whereas the Meiri thinks that the Gemara is still operating within the framework of Zrizim Akdim L'Mitzvahs, and the reason why we go back as far as Laila is concerned, which doesn't apply to other mitzvahs, is because of these two reasons. And that's why we extended to the Laila.
I mean, there's a peculiar issue here that you have, in this case, Zrizim Akdim to a period where you cannot be Mekayim the Mitzvah. Because Tashbisu, you're not Mekayim beforehand.
Right.
Which is different than the Mila, for instance.
Well, the truth is that...
Does the Chachamim extend it
somehow? What we discussed, Sam, on Thursday, which I'm not sure will answer your question, but at least we raised the question. We said, what is the Gemara proving from Mila? After all, the earliest start for Mila is the daytime. If he would implement the Mila at night, he would not fulfill the mitzvah. He would need another Mila, which is called Atofas Tam Briz. And even in the case of the Akedah, which is a Kiyum Karban, we don't have a Kiyum Karban at night. A Karban is brought during the day. So what was more proving from Mila or from Akedah that there could be a Zrizim Akdim mitzvah at night? In the case of Bedikas Chametz, maybe we could go back to the night because it's all part of your dalit, like you said before. What did you call it? The formal, what was your phrase?
The halachic date.
Halachic date. So maybe as far as the halachic date is concerned, it's not ridiculous to ask a person to do Bedikas Chametz on the night of the 14th. I'm not going to go as far as Tu Bishvat, you know, but at least the night of the 14th is part of, it's part of Yom Rishon, it's part of the 14th of Nisan. So that was a major problem that we focused on Thursday, and what we tried to suggest on Thursday was that what the Gemara might be operating with is a different kind of halacha, what we call hachana l'mitzvah. That's what we wanted to suggest, that maybe although the zmana mitzvah is with daybreak, both in the case of Mila and in the case of Akedah as well, but nevertheless we might expect to prepare for the mitzvah starting the night before. So when is Avraham Avinu going out on the trek? The night before. When are we going to start the Ismail, you know, make sure that the Kleya HaMila are available? We're going to take them on the night before. And the answer is no. Fayashkem Avraham Baboker. He didn't saddle his donkey on the night before. And in the case of Mila, it doesn't say anywhere that he has to prepare the Ismol or whatever, the Kleya Mila on the night before. So we see even as far as Hachana L'mitzvah, we don't include the night before. Which you would say is Zrizim Akdim L'mitzvah. You want to get started as early as daybreak, you might as well prepare the night before. And therefore the Gemara thinks that in Bedikas Chametz, since you want to just add time to the beginning of the day, again, this is all based on the assumption that Yom HaRishon, at the end of the day, Yom HaRishon is going to have to be on the 14th by day, because again, if we interpret that Yom HaRishon includes the entire calendar day, and Yom HaLechachar Laila, so then Zrizim Akdim L'mitzvah should certainly start from the beginning of the night, and then the whole sugya makes no sense. Because the Gemara is rejecting Zrizim Akdim LeMitzvahs, at least in the Habam, you know, the Meiri wants to expand it based on the fact that there is no Zrizim Akdim until the night. Why not? If it's Halach and Yudalid, why not expand it to the night as well? So apparently the Achilek is telling me that Biyom HaRishon means the daylight hours, and the latest time for Bedika or Bittul or Tishash Bisu, whatever you want, is going to be midday, and therefore the night is not included. What was the Gemara's maskon about Bnei Odom Mitzvim? Is the Gemara now going back to its original premise that there is Rizim Akdim, but here it could apply at night? And again, we could only allow for that flexibility because the whole institution of Bedika HaSchometz is Derabbanan. If you're assuming that Midoraisa, he already covered his bases with Bittul B'Alma. Or alternatively, this is a whole new takana. A whole new takana, that's what the Rambam seems to imply. But now let's talk about Abaye. That's our sugya for today. So Abaye says we shouldn't start learning at that particular juncture, at that transition between the 13th and the 14th. So the Rambam writes the following. The Ein Kovin Medrash Besof Yom Shloshasar V'chein HaChacham Lo Yaschil Likros B'eit Zu Shema Yimosh Ech V'yimna Mibdikas Chometz B'tchilas Man. The number of points in the Rambam that should catch our attention. First of all, the Rambam starts with an opening line here, in which he doesn't mention a chacham. Meaning, v'chein ha-chacham sounds like he's adding something in the case of a chacham. First, he talks about ein kovin medrash. He doesn't mention a chacham. It sounds like he's addressing himself to klal ha-alma, right? To kuli alma. Another point, which we'll get back to later, he says besof yom shloshah, so he's certainly emphasizing that period of time, which is still shloshah sar. And then he writes about a chacham, v'chein chacham. Now, in the case of a chacham, he doesn't mention kovim medrash, but rather he says lo yaschil likros. In other words, whereas when he addressed everybody, the whole klal, he mentions medrash, here he mentions kriya. B'eit zu, at this particular moment, which is Sof Yom Yud Gimel.
Midrash is like a speech for laymen, like
I would say that. I think that Midrash might mean what we call Torah Shebal Peh, as opposed to Kriya.
Oh.
Do you follow what I'm saying? Because
yes, when
he gets to the Chacham, he mentions Kriya,
right,
which I think is referring to Torah Shebal Sah. If that be the case, Rabbi Osei, then the Rambam is saying a gewaldige chiddush here, that when it comes to a chacham, and that's unique in the case of a chacham, it doesn't apply to other people, even kriya, which l'chora would be very superficial,
it doesn't draw you in.
It doesn't draw you in, but in the case of a chacham, we're afraid it'll draw you in. So if we're talking about klal b'nei adam, then the problem is Shemi Moshech is based on the fact that you're learning medrash. And if you're learning Medrash is something that preoccupies your mind and it stimulates your curiosity. You try to learn it more bi'iyun, you know, in depth, and therefore we're worried. But when you get to the Chacham, I once heard a story, I don't know if it's true, that the worst thing you wanted to do in the yeshiva in Lakewood was be a Bal Kore. Because Rav Aaron used to ask you to repeat over and over again. Again, this is just a legend, you know. Because every time the Bal Kori read something, Rav Aaron started thinking about, you know, Sugis and Shas, and he couldn't catch the next few words. He said, "Please repeat it." Anyway, I don't know if it's true. It's just maybe a funny story, but it does demonstrate. Like for example, I was thinking of the Torah Tmima. You know, he dedicated his life to this work, in which every time you read a pasuk, you have 15 different drushes on it. Have you ever seen the Torah Tmima? Sometimes it's like three words on a page, and the rest is just quotes from Chazal, from, you know, Sifri, Sifra, Mechilta, from Gemaras, left and right, Yerushalmis. In any event, a chacham already, I think the Rambam is saying, kriya itself is prohibited. But now, why is the Rambam emphasizing here Sof Yud Gimel? If you look at the last three words of the Rambam says, Mibdikas Chometz, Betchilas Zmana. Meaning the whole thrust of this halacha, and you, I think Abai says it, but you could read Abai and miss it. It's all to get the tchilas, what the Rambam calls tchilas mana, meaning zman chiyuva. Meaning we want to guarantee that you are ready, you know, ready and eager to start your bedik at the tchilas zman chiyuva. So, for example, Omar Abai, Hilkach Hai Tzurbi Rabbanah Lo Liftach Be'idni Be'urta Detleisar, meaning at the end of the 13th, Dinehigi Arbasa, which is going into the 14th. Mm-hmm. Now, in the Lashon of Abai, he says, Dilma Mishkach Leishmait, Tovi Osi Limnuei Mi Mitzvah. Now, I don't know what, I can just tell you what the literal translation means, he won't do the mitzvah. You know, the Rambam may have asked himself the following question: what do you mean he won't do the mitzvah? You know, even if he's a Rogachov, you know, so get involved in thinking about the studies. But what do you mean he's not going to do the mitzvah? So the Rambam has a different take on this. He says, "V'yimna mibdikas chometz, yimona mibdikas chometz b'tchilas mana," which is really interesting because if you take the Reisha of the Rambam says v'chein midirei sofrim, that there was a separate takana that the bedika should take place, right? Mitchilas leil arbasar. It's like tchilas leil arbasar is the zman of the mitzvah. Forget about the rest of the night. We want you to do, or at least the osek of the mitzvah of bedika at the tchilas leil arbasar. Memela, the whole sugi Abai has to start with Yud Gimel, because once he gets involved in his learning on Yud Gimel, whether it's a balabas who's learning Medrash, whether it's a Talmud Chacham, even if he's reading Psukim in the Torah, then he will not begin his bedika at the Tchilas Mana, because the Tchilas Mana is Tchilas Leil Arbasar. So let's say that from the time period which the Rambam describes as Sof Yom Yud Gimel until the Tchilas Man Chovah, so let's say it's a half hour, I don't know. So during that half hour, he gets so involved in his learning, right? What's the Rambam saying? Yimshach v'yimna mibdikas chometz b'tchilas man. That there's a chiv bedika at the tchilas man. We're not going to allow you to delay past the tchilas man. Again, if this was Rizam Akdim LeMitzvahs, the way the Rav wants to learn in the Meiri, I'm not sure why we make these ganze takonis here with an Isurim and this Medrash and Kriya and this, that, and the other thing, because what? He might forfeit Rizam Akdim LeMitzvahs. But if there's a new takon of Tchilas Mana, again, I'm not answering the question why they would have made such a takana, but if you grant just mathematically that they made this takana, b'tchilas halayla, the tchilas halayla is the zman chovaso, that's when you should be involved in the mitzvah of biur bedika. I'm sorry, bedika biur, which again, let's go back to what we said before, that the Ram opens this chapter with the mitzvah of tashbisu. The Rabbanim Divrei Sofer are telling you that we don't want the tashbisu that the Torah was satisfied with. We want a different kind of a tashbisu. We want a bedika that leads to tashbisu. And not only that, they made a takana that the bedika itself, as the beginning of tashbisu, should be implemented at the tchilas leil yudal. That is the moment of time. Very strange takana. Now, you know, mathematically this is all fine and dandy and things begin to fit into place here. I'm saying there are three pieces of the puzzle here. One piece of the puzzle is the Rambam's connection between Bedika and Tashbisu. That's the first piece of the puzzle. The second piece of the puzzle is that because of reasons X and Y, that Bnei Adam HaMitzuyim Bateyam, the Oran Ner, the Rabbanan established that we want to start with Leil Yudal. That's when people are around. Now we have the third piece of the puzzle. And the third piece of the puzzle is not that we want you to get involved in the mitzvah bedika starting from Laila, but that the Laila is the zman of bedika, the tchilas ha-Laila. And then we get to the fourth piece of the puzzle. Now we begin to understand why already on the 13th the Rabbanan want you to avoid getting too involved in Torah studies. Mm-hmm. There are really like four pieces of the puzzle here. But now, you know, that's all good and dandy if you're playing with a puzzle. But, you know, we're human beings and we want to understand the rationale behind it. Why would the Rabbanan make this takana? Yeah, you want to talk about Zrisim Makdil Mitzvahs, and we can even extend that to the Lila. I can live with that. But why make a takana that your involvement in Bedikas Chametz, which culminates in Tashbisu, should be at the Tchilas Leil Yudalit? And we're going to go ahead now, and we're going to, you know, do somersaults in the air to make sure that, you know, you got nothing better on your mind at the Tchilas Leil Yudalit, when the gun goes off, than Bedikas Chametz.
If you start learning the mitzvah, then you might, you would reasonably say that
I'm involved, but claim, Yosef, and you don't have to agree with me on this point, is that we're not afraid that you're going to be so involved in Torah study that you won't do the bedikah. I don't think that's what the Rambam is saying. In the Gemara it sounds like that, but the Rambam seems to be saying you won't do the bedikah b'tchilas halayla. Why is that? And the reason why we want to avoid such a scenario is because that was the takana midirei sofrim shebod kivim hashbisim chametz b'layla mitchilas leil arbasar mitchilas leil arbasar. What would be so tragic if the Rabbanu would give me a little bit more flexibility? How do you say, give me a little more rope? And I'll, you know, so let's say Tchilas Leil HaBosos at 7 p.m., I'll pick it up at 8 p.m., 9 p.m. I mean, the Ara Ner is still Yafel Abedika. What are we saying at 8 p.m., 9 p.m., everyone flew the coop? I mean, there's no one around? You know, it says that Balaila Bnei Adam Mitzuyim Bateim. I think it means they're not out in the shuk. You know, they didn't have, you know, we have late nights over here. You know, you go to a mall until midnight or whatever, the malls are open. You have plenty of lights, electricity, this, that, and the other thing. They lived a quiet kind of, you know, provincial life. It got nightfall, everybody went home. Nobody was in the streets. That was the Sugyan Chanukah that we learned about. Achet Tichla Regel Ben Ashuk, a half hour after Shkia. But now the people are at home. Where are they going? I mean, are they in a rush? Like, what's... So Rav Bosar, I wanted to suggest the following. If you remember what we discussed a full week ago, who can remember what we discussed yesterday, let alone a week ago? We tried to say that there are two elements in Bedikas Chametz. Do you remember the Rambam said that even after Pesach you have a Bedikas Chametz? The Rambam says that you got to look for Chametz over Pesach if you didn't do a Bedika before Pesach. The Rambam said that there's one difference between the Bedika after, that's all here in Perek Gimel, there's one difference between Bedika after Pesach and Bedika during Pesach or before Pesach. And that is that the Bedika after Pesach doesn't get a bracha. So we suggested the reason why there's no bracha is because that bedika is only an isur. In other words, we're worried about, as the Rambam spells it out, that you might come to eat the chametz over al pesach. You don't make a bracha on an isur. So we suggested that there are two dimensions to bedikas chametz, with the exception of after Pesach. That one is a kiyum, and that deserves a bracha, and the other is the isur. In other words, if the Rambam has the Isur of leaving Chametz around after Pesach, how much more so would there be an Isur to leave Chametz around before Pesach? If the Rambam is worried about you might come to eat it after Pesach, which is only Chametz Shavuot of a Pesach, that's not an Isur Kares, I'm not even sure if it's Doraisa, then how much more so during Pesach itself or Erev Pesach, we have to be very nervous about the possibility that you might come to eat the Chametz. So if that possibility of you might come to eat the chametz is enough to generate an isur, such that you don't make a bracha on that dimension of bedika, then maybe that's what's going on over here. Why is it that the Rabbana make this takana of tchilas leil yudalit? As far as the kiyuma mitzvah is concerned, I don't care. Take your time. So the clock strikes 7 or 8, you got the whole night. You know, we'll give you the whole night, plenty of leeway. Oh, but if there's another dimension to Bedikas Chametz, we don't want you to leave Chametz around. The Torah says we want you to get rid of the Chametz at midday, chilek. The Rabbanan extended that to begin with Yudalit. Oh, so now it makes sense. Again, I'll read to you that line that we read before. Here he says, "Mitchilas halayla chalav chiyuv lasok bebir chametz ubekiyam tashbisu," which he says against the Miri, that's a takana unto itself. and the language here of mitchilas halayla chayav lasok bebir chametz means, you know what? Chametz is already awesome. Merabonin chametz is awesome. If you're involved in getting rid of it, that's fine. But you're not involved in anything else. We don't want you to be involved in anything else because we want to get rid of the chametz. The Rabbanim wants you to get rid of the chametz. They want you to begin the process of getting involved and dedicating yourself, whatever is necessary, lasot bebira chametz. And therefore, if you were to start an hour later, then you've left an hour of shehiyas chametz. The chametz is in your possession for that hour. The Rabbanim don't want that. Because what the Rabbanim did was they took chatzos of Yudalit, which is Achilek, and they set it up on Yudalit. And that means that just like at Achilek, you would have to be involved in destroying the chametz immediately. But let's say, for example, we get to 12 noon and he's busy with this, that, and the other thing. So he delays getting rid of his chametz. Oh, no, no, no. The Torah is not going to tolerate that. The Torah will tolerate your involvement in getting rid of the chametz. It may take you an hour until you finally succeed in getting the chametz up in smoke, going up. But at least you're involved. It's askus. So the Rabbanan did was, since bedikas chametz, min Rabbanan, is the beginning of the process of tashbisu, then basically you move your clock from what the Torah calls achilek midday chatzos of Yudalit, and you move it back to the beginning of Yudalit. That's called the tchilas halayla. And already at that point there's a mitzvah tashbisu. And what is the mitzvah tashbisu? The answer is that it's a twofold mitzvah. The mitzvah tashbisu has two dimensions to it. Number one is the kiyum of his askus, of the actual involvement in looking for the chametz, destroying the chametz. And number two, it's got an Easter element to that you're not allowed to leave your chametz around. And that's what the Torah means by tashbisu. The Torah is saying don't leave your chametz around. If you leave your chametz around, you might come to eat it. The Rabbanan said don't leave your chametz around on Yudalit. When does Yudalit begin? Tchilas halayla. Is memela at the beginning, at the end of your gimel already, you should not be dedicating yourself to the study of Torah, because when you get to Tchilas Yudalit, guess what? Where are you? You're in the base medrash. Wonderful. But that's not where you're supposed to be. At the Tchilas Leil Yudalit, the Rabbanu wants you to get rid of your chametz. We have zero tolerance for chametz from the beginning of Yudalit. Now here, in the same paragraph that I quoted to you before, he quotes a Yerushalmi. Umaisile bebir agro. So the Gra quotes a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says the following, Ksiv, Ushmartem es hayom hazeh ledoroseichem. Okay, fine, so the word Shmira. Says the Yerushalmi, Asay, do whatever you have to do. Sheyu hayom v'halayla mishumarim. Mishumarim. Milashon shmira. Hayom v'halayla mishumarim. It sounds like, and we'll see the next line in Yishami, that already Lila time, there shouldn't be any chametz around. So Yishami asks the following question. V'yaskil b'yud gimel. If you want to have a shmira from chametz on both Laila and Yom, because that's how the Yerushalmi is interpreting Ushmartem es hayom hazeh, then you might as well start your bedik on Leil Yud Gimel. And then v'yu hayom v'alayla mishumorim. And the Yerushalmi answers, oif isla l'meima di'omer av yosi ein bedikas chametz ne'er yofel l'bedika elba laila. In other words, from the perspective of Shmira, you should really begin your bedik on Yud Gimel so that by the time you get to the Laila of Yud Dalit, it's already Shomer. Shomer means Chametz. But the reason why technically we can't allow you to do that is because Eina Ara Ner Yafal Bedika. So the Gaon adds the following comment. V'nafkimina, Masha Omer Shiyehe Hayom V'alayla Mishumarim She'tzorech Livdok B'tchilas Alayla. So it's interesting, the Gaon comes up with this, I think, a similar approach to what we were saying, but he bases it on the Pasuk. that since the pasuk requires shmirah biyom uba laila, meaning including the night before, and shmirah means that I should worry about any contact with chametz, is therefore he should really be chametz free b'tchilas yudalit. But there's a problem, and that is ein or aner yofel b'dik. So because ein aner yofel or aner yofel b'dik at during the daytime period, only at nighttime, therefore, just on a technical basis, we can't implement the bedika on Yud Gimel.
Unless you did it, you'd bet at night.
She's saying let him do it. Yeah. Oh, that's a good point. That's a good point. I didn't think of that point. Well, one second, Yosef. So let me just see. You see, the Shascha Vasa has to be Yudalit. I think what the Gemara was asking, but you're right. I mean, theoretically, we could solve the technical problem by doing the Bdika Leil Yud Gimel, right? Orally Yud Gimel. And Ein Chinami. I don't think I have a problem with that. But that's not going to be the Shascha Vasa. In other words, we're operating with two different dimensions, so we have to always keep them both in mind. We have to satisfy two different goals. One goal is that you're going to make a bracha on Bedika because that's the beginning of Tashbisa. The other goal is that you need Shmira, that the day itself, which according to Yushami includes the Laila, that's the Chiddush Pilei Plum of this Yushami, that we shouldn't have any chametz. So the Gemara thinks that if you could begin your bedika when it's still light out on Yud Gimel, but I think what the Gemara means, again, this is Be'eravon Mugbal, that you're close enough to Yud Dalet that it could be considered Yud Dalet. And you could be Mekayim Yom Mitzvah Tashbisu, and it's the Shascha Vasa. That was the Havamini of Yushalmi. So you're right, Yosef. Technically, if you did the bedika on Arli Yud Gimel, as far as the Shmira is concerned, you would be in total absolute fulfillment of Shmira. But I think you'd be missing the Kiyum of Yudalit. So the Gemara is only willing to go back to that period of time. Maybe it's Bein HaShmashos, I don't know. After, you know, when it's Yud Gimel technically, but it's close enough to Yudalit that you could be Mekayim the Mitzvah. And that's when the Rabbanan should have set up the Shascha Vasa. And the Gemara says we have a technical problem. So since we have a technical problem, because you don't have the Ara Ner Yofel Bdika, therefore the Rabbanan are going to set up the Chiyuv at Tchilas Yudal. So the Gaon says, once you set up the Chiyuv at Tchilas Yudal, you've already solved and fulfilled the requirement of the Yushalmi. Why? Because Yushalmi says you need Shmira. If you kick off the night with Bdika, then you're already involved in Shmira. What do you mean you're already involved in Shmira? I mean, there's still chametz in my, you know, upstairs, downstairs, different houses, corners of the house. But the answer is, if I'm dedicating myself to look for the chametz, search and destroy, that's already considered Shmira. Mm-hmm. Which would mean that on a Daraisa level, if Achilek and Chatzos, you're involved in Tashbisu, it doesn't mean the way I said it to you before, which I thought was intuitively correct, that you should be chametz free at the time that the clock strikes 12. But no, that you should be involved in Tashbisu at the time of the Ketuvim. Because if you're involved in Tashbisu, that's what the Torah considers Shmira. Your Shmira against Chametz is you're involved in. So there's two types of Shmira. There's a Shmira B'Shevi Al Taseh, right? The Mitzius that there's no Chametz in my house. That's the greatest Shmira. But then there's another type of Shmira B'Kum Vaseh, that if I'm involved physically, actively in destroying my chametz, search and destroy, if that's my mission, that also is considered Shmira. Now with the Rabbanan required, now again, when I say with Rabbanan, I'm really straddling the fence over here, because I'm not sure that the Gaon is talking about with Rabbanan. The Gaon might be talking about a Doraisa, or perhaps the Yushalmi is just an Asmachta with Rabbanan. I'm more inclined to think that Yushalmi is an Asmachta Drabbana, because Midaraisa Tashbisu is Achilik. So it can't be that you need a Shmira on the Laila. That doesn't make any bit of sense. It's got to be an Asmachta. But the point of the Asmachta is that we're going to take the Tashbisu and we're going to include the Laila in Tashbisu. And what does Tashbisu mean? It means Shmira, that there should be no chametz in my possession. How could it be that there's no chametz in my possession? After all, I have to do the bedik at night. The answer is, says Yerushalmi, do the bedik on the 13th. Well, what's bothering you? Do the bedik on the 13th. And then you have a perfect fulfillment of the Shmira of the Laila of Yudalit. So the Gemara answers, I can't do that. There's no such thing as bedika. Why? Because bedika requires R and R. And there's no R and R when it's still light out. Oh, so you'll ask me, so how do I achieve my goal of Shmira of Laila if I'm going into the Leil Yudalit and I got chametz coming out of my gezudis? The answer is because I'm involved in his askus shel biur. So bedika becomes his askus shel biur, and that itself is considered Shmira. As if I have no chametz. It may take me an hour, it may take me 3 hours, whatever period of time it takes. Okay, Rabbi, so let's put this on the side for a moment.
Just a quick question.
Yeah, please.
The Mishkan Rafa talks about Kedei L'Harchik Et Ha'Adam Min Ha'Avira.
Yeah, the beginning of Masechta Brachos, right?
Why don't we use that principle here? In other words, do it now in order that you not come to push it and be close to the borderline.
Well, again, I think the Mishnah there is talking about a mitzvah shebel laila, and whenever the Torah requires you to do a mitzvah laila, you know what the Rabbanim are going to say? Ad chatzos, you know, because you pass chatzos, you're half asleep, you'll fall asleep, you won't even do. Here, on a deraisa level, we're talking about a mitzvah during the day, and the Rabbanim is saying that we want you to start that mitzvah at night. How does that work? Why would the Rabbanim do such a thing? So one way of learning it is the way the Meiri understood it, that it's Rizim Akdil Mitzvahs. We had a problem, because if it's Rizim Akdil Mitzvahs, why are you getting so concerned about someone starting learning Torah? And then you're going to have to say that he gets so involved in learning Torah, he's not even going to do the mitzvah at all. I don't know. Very difficult. The second approach we pinned on the Rambam, because the Rambam says, Midivrei Sofrim B'tchilas Leil Yudal. He's not operating with Zrizim Akdim Lemitzvahs, because otherwise, if he agreed with the Miri, he would not have to introduce Divrei Sofrim. This is not a new takana. This is a universal halacha of what? Of Zrizim Akdim Lemitzvahs. So the Rambam says that the Rabbanan made a takana that your mitzvah of Tashbisu Midrabbanan should begin on Leil Yudal. Then the Rambam says it's not enough to begin on Leil Yudal. You need Tchilas Mana. The very moment that the stars come out on Leil Yudal, that's when you got to do the bedik. And that moment is when you're involved in bedik. That was a separate takonis chacham. Mm-hmm. Oh, then I have to be very nervous if on Yud Gimel, coming close to that moment, you know, it's 6:30 p.m. You're already rangatan in some deep, profound sugi, because you won't be makayim this takonis chachamim that the bedikah begin at Tchilas Leil Yudal. So we ask the question, why would the Rabbanim make such a takana? Why are they so hung up? It's a, what do they call it in psychology when you get so hung up on a time period?
Perseverant.
No. There's a disease. Obsessed. It's an obsession. Yeah, but OCD. What's it called? OCDC? Yeah. What's it called?
OCD.
OCD. You know, well, why did the Rabbanim have to be OCD over here? And begin with Tchilas Leil Yudal? So I know Sam is going to probably say, oh, that's because we're briskets. Say, right, the briskets are guilty of this. But the Rambam seems to be a brisker in this case, because the Rambam says, don't start learning on Leil Yigimah, because you won't do the mitzvah. B'tchilas Leil Yudalit. And the Rambam is not even operating with Zriz Makdim Limitzes. Because I'll tell you the truth, if the Rambam was operating with Zriz Makdim Limitzes, he wouldn't have been OCD. He wouldn't have been so concerned. All right? So you forfeit a couple of minutes in Zriz. Was a schlecht. The answer is they made a takon. Now we have to rack our brains. Why would everybody make such a takon? That you've got to be involved in bedikas chametz b'tchilas Leil Yudal. So what we're suggesting is, and maybe the Gaon is with us, maybe not, with this Yerushalmi, that the Rabbanan shifted the Tashbisu from midday till Yudal. No, once they do so, if Yudal becomes the Zman of bedikah, then every moment that you leave the chametz around, you're in possession of chametz. And we don't want you to be in possession, because the Torah says don't be in possession of chametz midday. And the Rabbanan said don't be in possession. So again, as far as Kiyum HaMitzvah is concerned, I think we would have had a much laid back attitude. We don't have to be so hung up that maybe he won't be Mekayim the Mitzvah immediately at the beginning of Lail. But now that we're saying that Bedika has another element to it, it's the Iser Shehiyas Chametz, that we don't want you to be in possession of Chametz, then every moment that you delay Bedika, you are in possession of Chametz. That's a violation. The God adds here a din of Shmira, that Yishami derives that the Shmira even Balila, that Lila has to be Shomer Minach Chametz. I think it, you know, we can stretch it a little bit, and I think we can push our pshat into the Yishami. That the Yishami is saying we have zero tolerance for chametz even Balila. Again, it can't be that the Yishami means that on a Doraisa level, because if that's a Drosha Gemura Doraisa, then what do we do with Tashbisu? It makes no sense. I mean, the Gemara establishes Tashbisu as Achilik, that's noontime on the 14th. It must be an Asmachta de Rabbanon, but basically it illustrates that the Rabbanon are creating a din of Shmira, just like the Torah created a Shmira Menachomets on Yudalid at Chatzos. The Rabbanon created a din of Shmira with the emergence of Yudalid, Seisa Kochov on the night. Yeah, Mitch?
Does anybody discuss the conflict between the time of Montefila and this?
You mean what Yosef was talking about the Harchak of Chatzos? You mean? What do you mean?
I mean, you have a Meir comes too.
Oh, you're asking which should come first? Which should come first, my Bedika or my Tefillas Arvis? Yeah, I think in the Shulchan Aruch there's a whole discussion about this. Do you mind if I pass the baton here, Mitch? You can't miss it. It's like right there, you know, Tuflam and Gimel, whatever it is. All right.
There's a technical difference between that's a
loss essay.
This is not right. So, Bedika itself would lend itself more to Zrizim Matim.
Correct.
Being so afraid
that's,
of having
comments
is the other one.
Right. So that's what I'm saying, that we're trying to work hard to add a whole new dimension to Bedika's Chametz, which is lurking in the shadows and is really, you know, it's overshadowed by the mitzvah essay. If you were to say that the Bedikas Chametz is purely a mitzvah saseh, then everything we said just now goes down the tubes. I'm telling you right now. You know, if you want to go on board with me for this ride, you have to go beyond the key of mitzvah saseh. It's got to be a zero tolerance for the possession of chametz. It's got to be a low sas.
Lo yirah, lo yimatzeh, or not positive.
Well, again, lo yirah, lo yimatzeh would be from, I mean, the earliest time would be from Chatzos Lail. You're right. Again, you're always right, Yosef. This is just another occasion. What I mean to say is that if you're willing to attach to Bedikas Chometz, not just Tashbisa, but also by Yerah by Yimotzeh, which seems to be Rashi Sheet at the beginning of Psachim, then you're right. That is quite clear that Bedikas Chometz has an element of a Lo Sasin. I'm willing to go even a step further. I'm willing even to grant you that, you know what, Bedikas Chametz is purely Tashbisu, has nothing to do with Balei Rabbi Matzah right now. But what I am saying is that since the Rambam has a Bedika after Pesach, albeit without a Bracha, that Chiyuv Bedika clearly exhausts itself in Lotasa. There's no Kiyum Bedika after Pesach. It's too late for that. And therefore the Rambam drops the Bracha. You can't say Asher Kishonu, it's also the Tzivonu, Levirus HaChomet, Albir Chomet, on Chomet Shavu Levav Pesach. Ain't no such thing. But the Rambam nevertheless calls it a Bedika. He categorizes it and codifies it together with the Tiyuv Bedika on Erev Pesach and on Pesach. Just one difference, that you leave out the Bracha. But that difference is very fundamental, because that reduces Bedika's Chomet after Pesach to a Los Aser. But you have to understand what we gain by that. What we gain by that is a tremendous benefit, because that allows us to say that every Bedika lurking in the shadows has another element to it that may be, you know, sublimated, but it's there and it surfaces. And that's the element of a Lo Sasar. That's the element of an Isa Shehiyah. Or as you call it, and very well you'll say, Again, I'm not going to call it Bal Yiroa Bayimotze because I'm not sure if Bedika Midrabanan is connected to Bal Yiroa Bayimotze or it's connected to Tashbisa. So therefore, I'm a little hesitant. But what I will tell you is that the ultimate goal of Bedikas Chometz is that you shouldn't be a Masha Chometz B'Beischa. That wouldn't generate or justify a bracha. In order to justify the bracha, same, I have to come back to when you said it's a Kiyuma Mitzvah. And Midrabanan, that mitzvah is the kickoff of that mitzvah, if I can use a football term. Right? The kickoff of the mitzvah is going to be Bedika. That's all Midrabanan. But what I'm going to say is that the Rabbanan had something else in mind. Another dimension, another element. And that is, get rid of your chametz. We don't want chametz. Chametz is not a good thing, starting from your dalet at night. Now, I photocopied for you an essay here from a book that I got from my son-in-law called Shiurei Rebbe Ariav. Again, in the introduction, they relieve themselves from any responsibility, because apparently there's a Talmud here by the name of Yonatan Schweiger, and he took notes of the Shiur. I don't know, Rabosa, if you were here when I used this Sefer for Masechta Shabbos. It's full of mistakes. And the challenge here is to make sure that you can find those mistakes and yet still salvage something, you know. But I think 99% of it is pretty good, at least on Pesachim, from what I've seen so far. So what you should have in front of you, pages 10 and 11. And now he addresses the issue. Let me just formulate the question that he's addressing in my own terms. He wants to know, let's say you did not do Bedika. Are you on a Doraisa level guilty for Bal Yiroa Bayimotze? Now, if you did Bittul, so we have a Gemara explicit, the Gemara says, Bidoraisa Bittul Ba Masaki. Nobody's going to question. But let's talk about someone who on the one hand has not done Bittul, and on the other hand he hasn't done Bedika either. He doesn't know that this chametz in his rishus. His wife did a good spring cleaning job. She had the chametz kudis from about 6 months before Pesach. She's been just, I don't know, what word can we use in a marriage where the wife pressures the husband? Is there a good term for that in psychology? Can you think of something like that? My shver calls it nudging.
Hand pecking,
okay. So for 6 months your wife is, you know, you can't even stand on your head and eat something that might have a crumb, you know, in your good old study, which you consider your palace in life, right? So you don't know that there's chametz in your reshus on Erev Pesach, right? And you're gonna take out the cushions of the couch and look for chametz under the cushions of the couch, and your wife thinks you're a loony bin because she cleaned that couch 50 million times, and you're telling her, but that's not Bedikas chametz. She may or may not have a clue as to what you're talking about. So that's called chametz she'eni yadua, and chametz she'eni yadua is an issue. Is there Bal Yiroa Bayimotze? Now, if we open up the first Rashi in Masechta Pesachim, Rashi says, "Early our boss are both kimas achometz l'aran ner." Right, two lines down from the top of Daf Beis Amud Aleph, and Rashi says, "Yeah, let me just read it to you. I just 1 second here. I don't know why I'm not finding it. Here it is." He says, Shelo Yavar Olav B'Bal Yiroa B'Yimotze. What does that sound like to you, Rabbi Osai?
It's only doing it because it might be.
No, but I'm asking you, when Rashi says Shelo Yavar Olav, are we talking, again, I don't know that this chametz there. I can't take a shvuah d'orais that this chametz there. My wife did a pretty good job. And Rashi says that B'dikas chametz is a requirement, Kidei Shelo Yavar Olav B'Bal Yimotze. What impression do you get from Rashi? That there is Bal Yiroa Bayimotze on Chometz She'eni Yadua. Now that might sound simple to you, but it's not simple at all. I don't know that there's Chometz there. You're telling me there is Chometz there, where there might be chametz there, therefore I'm going to violate Bal Yerov by a matzah. Now, the one who did a research project on this a couple of centuries ago, maybe about 400 years ago, 300 years ago, is the Pri Chadash. And he claims that according to a whole bunch of Rishonim, you do not violate Bal Yerov by a matzah if you don't do bdika. Again, you haven't done bittul, you don't do bdika because you don't know about the existence of any chametz. And if you're totally unaware of the existence of chametz in your house, then you don't violate Bal Yerov by a matzah. Clearly, that's not Rashi's sheet. And the Ran, in the gigantic Ran that we did, was it on Wednesday of last week, the Ran seems to assume that the Torah gives you two options. You can either be Mevatel Yechametz, or you can be Bodek and be Mevar Yechametz. But clearly, the Torah expects you to do one of those two. Hence, if Rashi, at the beginning of Masechet Pesachim, is assuming that he did not do Bittul, then the Torah is going to say you're in violation of two lavim in event that you have chametz there, even though you're not aware of that chametz. And therefore you must do bdika to find the chametz that you're not aware of. But the Pri Chadash claims that not all the Rishonim buy into this Rash. And for one, Tosfos doesn't buy in. Now before we get to see the Tosfos, which you might want to open up to Daf Chaf Aleph, so we'll see the Tosfos inside, let's just point out that Tosfos says that Bedikas Chametz is Kidei Shelo Yochal Asa Chametz, right? You remember that the Tosfos had a kasha, well, if the Rabbanan instituted Bedika in the case of Chametz, why didn't they do so in the case of Kalayim, or Arla, or Basa B'Cholav, and other Yisuri Hadnah? And Tosfos comes up with a theory called Lo Bedilim in Ayinshi, right? That the whole year round I'm used to eating Chametz, and therefore I might come to eat the chametz. The Rabbanan require that you completely destroy, make your atmosphere, your home, chametz free. But in the case of Arla, well, Kalaya Karim Basma, it's also the whole year round, and that's called Bedilimine, and the Rabbanan did not require Bedik. But in any event, you see that the Tosfos is not interested, he's not nervous about the absence of Bedika and the violation of Bal Yerov by Yemotz. Now that per se would not satisfy the Pri Chadash. That's not a raya at all, because Tosfos is operating with the assumption that he did bittul, and that's why Tosfos is not willing to accept Rashi that Bedikas Chametz was instituted because of Bal Yerov by Matzah. If he didn't do bittul, I'm sorry. If he did bittul according to Tosfos, because Habodik Tzark Sheivatel, then for sure there's no way he can buy into Rashi Shita. So there's no proof from Tosfos and his definition of Bedika and the purpose of Bedika that Tosfos holds that there's no violation of Bal Yerov by Yemotzeh on Chametz She'eini Yedua, because Tosfos is operating with the assumption that there was Bittul. But the Pri Chadash found another Tosfos, and if I could use a pun, this Tosfos is hidden away in Noesvot. And why is that a pun? Because Tosfos speaks about hidden chametz. So there's a hidden Tosfos about hidden chametz. And Tosfos claims that you don't violate Bal Yerov by Matzah on hidden chametz. Now who hid the chametz? The chaya hid the chametz. So you have in the backyard, you have a chaya. And the Mishnah goes out of its way to mention the chaya. If you take a look at the first Mishnah and the second parak, the Gemara wants to know why did the Mishnah mention Chaya? And the Gemara says that Chaya, if you have a Chaya floating around, then for sure you don't have any problems. Why? Because the Chaya will hide the Chametz. So that you'll see approximately 10 lines up from the bottom of the Amud. He says, you know, once you have behemoth, so why do you have to mention chaya? So the Gemara says a chaya is different than a behemoth. Eat on a behemoth, di meshaira chazile. Okay, this is not really the Gemara that we need. Just one second, I think did I skip the Gemara? One second. Oh, here it is, a little bit further. Eat on a chaya is Mishum Di Meshaira Mias Mitzna. The reason why you don't have to be worried about your chametz in the case where you have a chaya floating around is because even if the chaya doesn't consume the chametz, It hides the chametz.
Right.
So what premise is Gemara operating with as far as hidden chametz is concerned? You're free of Balyiro Bayamotze. That's what Tosa says. V'yashmin and chaya mishum de mitzvah lei v'eino over mishum bal yatmin. Oh, so Tosa says, wait a minute. The Gemara back on Daf Dalet says, or Daf Hey, wherever it is, the Gemara says, you can't hide your chametz. Because the Torah says, lo yimotze. Lo yimotze means it can't be anywhere to be found. If he had lo yiroa, the Torah would say, well, that's because you see the chametz. But here I hid it. You know, I dug a ditch and I hid away my chametz, subterranean. So that's not lo yiroa. But the Torah went ahead and added another lav of lo yimotze. And lo yimotze means that any chametz. So what good is it if the chaya hides the chametz? After all, that's already bal yatmin. So he says the following. Bal yatmin nafkalon milo yimotze. Right, we have an extra lav in the Torah to teach you that even if you hid the chametz, you still violate the ownership of the chametz. Vi ein zem motzui, but in the case here of the chaya, it's not motzui. Why kaven she'eini yodea heichan hu? So bal yatmin means he hid it away deliberately. So he knows exactly, you know, where's the key in the lock and where to go down to the cellar and subterranean to find the chametz. But here, the chaya is not going to notify him unless it's maybe the aton of Bilam, but most chayas don't tell you, hey, you know, I stashed away the chametz in such a place. So he has no idea where the chametz is, and therefore he doesn't violate lo yimotze. But we want to emphasize those five words in Tosus. Kevan she'ein yodua heichan hu. So the Prichadish wants to derive from this conclusion, from this Tosus, and it seems black and white that he's right, that if you don't know where the chametz is, you don't violate the law. So again, let's go back. Rashi says the whole reason for bdikas chametz is shelo yavro l'v'val yiro v'yimotze. Even though you don't know that this chametz there, you violate v'val yiro v'yimotze. Tosus, on the other hand, says the chaya is okay because she'll hide the chametz and you don't know where to find the chametz. So if you don't know where the chametz is, you don't violate v'val yiro v'yimotze. So when I come to my house on Erev Pesach, according to Tosus, there's no violation of v'val yiro v'yimotze because I don't know where the chametz is.
Well, but kikar b'shmekora, the chaya didn't put it there. You put it there.
Correct. So in that case, if you don't, let's say there was no bittul, then for sure you'd have to climb up on a ladder and get down the chametz, because that's called chametz yodua. But in the case of the chaya, I don't know where she hid the chametz. I can't guess.
Right.
Therefore, says Tosa, I don't violate by Rabbi Yimotze.
So why does the Mishnah talk about Shemagera Rachulta? Not my problem.
Because I don't know where the chulda put the chametz.
Exactly.
That could be a glitch in the problem.
because it's there.
That's what I'm saying. I think that Tosis is going to say that again, we're dealing with not Bali Rabbi Yimotze, but Shemi Yovel Liachlo. What do I mean? Fine, there's no Bali Rabbi Yimotze. I have no clue where the chulda put the chametz. But maybe the chametz will all of a sudden appear out of nowhere in the middle of Pesach and I might come to eat it. Like in the case, like you mentioned before, of Kikar Mishmei Korah. It's not an issue of Bali Rabbi. Well, again, there it's chametz yedua, so that's not really relevant to us because I know exactly where the chametz is. But let's say in the case of chulda, I don't know where the chametz is. That would exempt me from Bali Rabbi Yimotze, but I still have a Shemi Yovel Liachlo. In other words,
yes.
Well, let's say Erev Pesach. Do I know where my chametz is? No. Did I violate Bali Rabbi Yimotze? No. So what's all the nervous tension about? So Tosa says Yovel Liachlo. Why? Because there's a gluski of feifa somewhere in the house, and I'm going to chance upon it on Pesach. So therefore, I want to be boding my chametz. Now, you might ask, well, does the chulda bring me a gluski of faith? I don't know. But let's assume, you know, if we stretch it a little, even the chulda might bring me a gluski of faith. And therefore, I need bedik. I can't live in a house where there's chametz in the house. Again, it's all on a derabbanan level, has nothing to do with Bali Rabbi Yimotze. I don't know where the heck the chametz is. I do not violate Bali Rabbi Yimotze. But I have to worry about Shemi Yovel Liachlo. That's the pre-chadash. Hence, the Prichodesh comes to a very far-reaching conclusion about a machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos regarding Chomet Sheni Yedua. Then fine, Rashi says that you violate Bali Rabbi Motzi on Chomet Sheni Yedua, and Tosfos says, Ma Pidom, why should you violate Bali Rabbi Motzi? I don't even know that this Chomet's there. If I don't know this Chomet's there, and I can't even begin to tell you, look over there, you'll find some Chomet's, that's not Bali Rabbi Motzi. I, Bal Yatmin, that's because I hid the Chametz. I know exactly where the Chametz is.
In the issue of Chametz Ena Yodua, are you saying that it's Ena Yodua Tumat HaTahom? That there is nobody, there's nobody in existence that ever knew where this was? Or are you saying that it's just not...
It's not Yedua Li. I don't know where the Chametz is. I don't know if you have to say no one knows. You know, if there's somebody who knows where my Chametz is, it would be a nice thing if he told me about it. But I don't know where the Chametz is. So that's the Pre-Chadosh. Now the Pnei Yehoshua doesn't like this Pre-Chadosh. The Pnei Yehoshua seems to be absolutely convinced that there is Bal Yerah Bayi Matzeh on Chomet She'eni Yedua. But what's he going to do with this Tosfos? I mean, Tosfos is pretty explicit here. So if you fast forward for a moment, do you see on the left column of this same page 10, in the middle of the left column, there's a section that calls Chiluk HaPnei Yehoshua, correct? So Ayin b'Pnei Yehoshua she'doch arayas ha'prichodesh. Again, there's a lot of important stuff that I skipped. I'm going to come right back to it, but I just wanted to. I'm hot here on the trail of this prichodesh. I wanted to mention the Pnei Yehoshua. He says the following: Kol Masha Omer Tosfos. Okay, so wait. Let's just talk about it. What's going on Daf Chof Aleph? And this is a piece of the puzzle that we didn't mention before. Is what do you do with the chametz on Leil Yudal that you want to eat for breakfast the next morning? We're not telling you that you can't lock up some chametz in a safe place, you know, so you have Cheerios for breakfast on Erev Pesach. You know, you still have till 10 a.m. to eat, even Rabbanan, to eat the chametz. So the Gemara says that you have to lock it up. It's got to be locked up under lock and key. Why? Because we're afraid of all these possibilities that the animal, if you don't lock it up, the animal might get access to. Right? Well, says the Gemara, in such a case, don't worry about a chaya. Because even if a chaya gets access to the chametz, she will hide the chametz. That's called matzna. Says the Pnei Yehoshua, you have no proof from this Tosfos. Kol mashamru atosus she ainu yodea me'achomets ainu over a love. Myri bibada karoi. This is post bedika. He's got leftover chomets that he wants to save for tomorrow's breakfast. No solo chomets, which a rotzel a teso lechaya, or let's say he wants to feed his animals, which he's allowed to do up until 11 a.m. But zeh, kevon she ain lo yedia brura, sheshira. Okay, so we have one suffix that maybe the chaya ate up whatever chametz she has in her mouth. And secondly, it's logical to assume that even if she leaves over some of the chametz, kevin shem establish lo shira klal, amri shaf ishira vitznia choshiv chametz eino motzui v'eino overall. Now, it seems to me that the Pnei Yehoshua is combining two different svaras together. I don't know, maybe we'll clarify this. Svara number one, he's saying that we don't even have any reason to believe that she left over any chametz. Let's assume mistaber shaloshira klal. Right, an animal is not so intelligent. There are certain creatures that are very intelligent. They put away things for a rainy day. But let's say the chaya, we assume if she has a good piece of juicy pastry, she'll eat it up immediately. Right? So if you already were bodek the chametz in your house, now the chaya got a hold of a piece of chametz, then we don't have to now destroy or undermine the chezkas baduk of the house and assume that the chaya left over some chametz. Right? Because again, until we know certainly that there's chametz in the house, we have every right to assume that there is no chametz in the house, because we're talking after bedika. So there's no Bal Yerov by Yematzah because it's after Bedika. So Bedika covers you for Bal Yerov by Yematzah. Again, before Bedika, it's a whole different story. Then it's a Makom Shemachnis Bo Chometz. We assume there is Chometz, and if an event in truth there is Chometz, say you violate Bal Yerov by Yematzah. So the Pnei Yeshua is arguing that the Pre-Chodesh has no proof from Tosus that there's no Bal Yerov by Yematzah. Tosus is talking about a situation where you already did Bedika. Now you want to know, well, maybe the animal left over some of the Chometz. Why should I assume so? Mistabir Shaloshira Klal. That seems to be one answer of the Pnei Yeshua. But then I think he gives another answer over here. And he says, Af Ishira, even if I would grant you that the animal was pretty satiated, or it's very intelligent, wants to save for a rainy day, Vitznia, Choshiv Chometz She'eno Matzui, V'eino overall. Now I think he's saying a different svara. And that is that although, just 1 second, what does he mean, Eino Matsuri? Just give me a second here. Af Ishir Vitznia Choshiv Chometz She'eino Matsuri. Do we have a Pnei Yeshua? I'd love to see it in the original. What does he mean, Eino Matsuri? I mean, after all, we said that since I have a feeling he's not offering a second answer over here. He means that since he made a bedika, therefore we assume there's no chametz there, and it's Eino Matsuri. If by some fluke there happens to be that there is chametz, there's no Bal Yerov on this chametz because we have no reason to believe or to suspect that there is chametz here. 1 second, let me think about this for 1 second. Number one, he's saying that I already made the bdika, therefore bias has a cheskas badu, and we have every reason to assume that there's no what. That there's no chametz in the house. Now you're coming to tell me, no, the chaya left some chametz in the house. Why should I assume so? The chaya is going to eat up the chametz. Then he says that even if the chaya leaves over chametz, it's eino matzui. What does he mean by eino matzui? I mean, he just finished telling us that bal yatmin means lo yimatzui if it's somewhere to be found. But now he's saying it was matznia. So what is he saying? That if it's matzniya, the chometz, nobody's going to find it? Is that what he's saying? I don't know. Let me just see. Hey, John, you saw it?
No, I just brought it to you.
Oh, okay.
I didn't look at it.
You always make me do all the work. It's not fair. You got to share in the burden here. Okay, 1 second. Where is this Pnei Yeshua? Here, he writes the fine. Let's see. Again, I'm not promising. He says, "B'sefer pre-chodesh, digdei miloshen atos, s'sirei chometz sheli yidua eichayv livdok min haTorah." The linias taiti, mishum holo ira. There's no proof. The afim timtzalom de sovar. The Tos agreed. The chayv livdok. I would add 2 words min haTorah. Afiu b'chometz sheli yidua ukeshitas aran. Which again, when he says shitas aran, he means really shitas Rashi. So once he brought chametz in there, until we know for sure he took it out, we have to assume there's chametz there. And therefore the Torah says that you're required to do bedikah, otherwise you're going to violate Bal Yerov by Yematzah. Oh, but here the sugya is different. King Hacha Kvar Bodak. He was Bodak. Okay, at this point he's saying that even if, in the worst case scenario, the chayil left over some chametz, vadai mitzna, it's certainly going to hide the chametz, ad she'ein yodea b'ez of makom, v'imkein avile kemakom she'eino yodua im hichnis chametz. This is like a makom she'en yodua im hichnis chametz. Now, the whole premise, the whole proposition of bedika d'oraisa for Balyum Rabbi Motzi Chom Sheni do is because he knows that Chomis went into the house. That's called a Mokum Shemach Nisim O'Chomis. Here, Eini Yodea Im Hechniso Chomis. Why is that? Because maybe the animal ate up the Chomis. Right? So why does the Mishnah, why does the Bnei Yoshua mention Asher Eini Yodea Beza Mokum? What does he mean by Matzna Acha Eini Yodea Beza Mokum?
Matzna means the animal.
The animal's right.
Eini Yodua means the person.
No, so what I'm asking is the following. You're telling me that we don't know if there's chometz, right? Because maybe the animal ate up the chometz. So if that's what you're telling me, so why do you add this whole line over here? Acha Eini Yodea Beza Mokum. That he doesn't know where the chometz is. Why don't you just, quit while you're ahead, just tell me that it's any of the Mechniso chometz. If we don't know.
He says Shaira.
That what? That Shaira. What's the language of the Shas? Let's go over the language of the Shas. De'i Ashmeinon Chaya, where is it? Is Mishum de Mitzne La. Where is this? Maybe there's a Girsa issue here. Lama limisne behema, lama limisne chai tzricha. Di tada behema, di mishaira chazile, because the animal doesn't hide it. But I might think that maybe the chaya hid it away. Oh, the itana, here's what we're up to. The itana chaya. Then I would have said that only in the case of chaya. De'i mishaira, if it leaves it out, is miyas mitzna. So I don't get it. Why does Gemara need miyas mitzna? Why does the Gemara say,
even if he didn't finish it, he hid it, and now you have no idea where even begin?
Okay, so then you're back to the pre-chodesh again. Now I'm trying to understand the Pnei Yeshua. The pre-chodesh says that if it's mitzna, then you don't know where the chametz is, and you don't violate Bali Rabbi Mutz. That was a simple pshat in Tosus. It comes to the place where he says name. If it's chametz and you do it, Tosus agrees that there's no Bali Rabbi Mutz. I'm sorry. That Tosus agrees that if what? That if it would be mitznei, then even though it's any yidua, you violate Bali Rabbi Mutz. Tosus also agrees that what? That is a violation of Bayir Rabbi Matzah Chavish Eni Yudua. So what is Mitzneh? So first he says that you don't know that Chavish ever went in. That I understand, but what's the Mitzneh over here? What does he mean here when he says, he starts by saying that since he was Bodek, therefore it's Eni Yodea, he doesn't know that there's Chavish in the house. Right, listen to his language. Havi le makom she'ein yadua im hichnis chametz, im hichnisu chametz. Right, so if he doesn't know that they brought chametz in, that's chametz she'ein yadua, and that's what Tosfos means by ein yadua. Correct, ein yadua. But that's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says mitznei, right? So therefore, the Pnei Yeshua adds that ad she'ein yadua be'ezo makom. What's this Eini Yodea Beza Mokum? I don't understand the significance of that. Again, the whole thrust of the Pnei Yeshua is to reject the Pre-Chadosh and maintain that according to Tosfos, even if you don't know that you have Chametz and you have no clue where to look for the Chametz, even so you definitely would violate by Rabbi Matzah. So I thought the answer to that problem here is that this is the exceptional case. He did Bedika. Now you transform the Chazok of the house to a Mokum Shein Machnis Mokum. Now you have to tell me for sure that this chametz there, says the Pnei Yoshua, is having le makom she'ena yodea im echnisu chametz. So he can go back to the Cheskes Baduk and insist that if you have doubts whether they brought chametz in, we always assume, until we know definitely otherwise, that there is no chametz in the house. So I just don't understand, why does he have to say that he was matzniah? Like, as if the Chaya does such a good job at hiding it that you don't know where it's located. What difference does it make if you don't know where it's located? If there's chametz yadua, you know there's chametz, even if you don't know where it is, Tosfos says that you violate. The only difference is because this is after bedika, and we don't know b'chlal if the chametz is in the house. But if the chametz is in the house, then for sure he should violate by Rabbi Matzah. I don't know. What is the Pnei Yeshua gained by mitznah, by saying that the animal hides it? I mean, if you look at his formulation, you'll come to the same conclusion. Right? Because he says the following. He says, where was it?
Right, at the pushing the Pre-Chadosh, if you do Bedika, and then there's a...
Wait, Sam, just give me 1 second, because I can't listen and read at the same time, so I'm not hearing what you're saying. Okay. Sorry, I apologize. If you ain't over Mishum Bal Yatmin, Di Bal Yatmin Nafkalon Milo Yimotze, So again, the Pichodesh says that since he doesn't know where the animal hid the chametz, therefore there's no violation of Bayirah Bayimotze. Comes on Pnei Yeshua and he says, no. Even if you don't know where the chametz is, you violate Bayirah Bayimotze. But here it's different, says the Pnei Yeshua, because he already did his bedika. And since he already did his bedika, therefore what? Therefore, you can assume that there's no chametz. That I understood. But now to say you don't know where the chametz is, that confuses me. Because again, Tosfos says that even if you don't know where the chametz is, you violate by your own body once. All right, we'll have to stop for a minute. Sam, what were you going to say?
The counterpoint is if you do bedika, and then it turns out to be right on your table, if you say that you're not able, and if not, why not? That would be the counterpoint.
Right.
Sorry, I'm doing it on the run.
Oh, I don't know if you found one. And what does he say? Then Shadav Meir first?
Shadav Meir, if you didn't do the minute, Shadav Meir right at home, skip the minute. He has all kinds of stuff.